All right, good morning to you. Good to see you today, and thank you for being a part of this very special day. And it's good to see the McBride and Pitt family. It's hard to have Anniversary Sunday without them. That's an institution in itself, along with Anniversary Sunday, and coming to celebrate what the Lord has done here at this ministry, and using this pastor, my dad, all these years. It's just a special thing, and I'm so glad each one of you are here this morning to take part in this special day. And I know we do look more like brothers than father and son. I never heard that one before, actually, but anyway. Tried to grow a beard, but that don't help either, you know. But let's go to Galatians chapter 1 this morning. We'll read a few verses together. Galatians chapter number 1. I like the good hymns and the good singing we've already heard today, and we'll get to be a part of that as we go forward throughout the services today. Did you hear? I tell a few jokes about you know, song leaders and preachers fussing with each other and the different hymns and all that. I saw a list the other day. I know this ain't really all that funny, but that never stops me from reading anything if it's not funny. But of different people's in different walks of life, their favorite hymns, like the Dennis hymn, a Dennis's hymn. His favorite one is "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Many crowns, and that means many dollar signs, right? The weatherman's hymn: "There shall be showers of blessings." The contractor's hymn: "The church's one foundation." The tailor's hymn: "Holy, holy, holy." Gotta think about that one a little bit, right? The golfer's hymn: "There is a green hill far away." The politician's hymn: "Standing on the promises." At least through the campaign, right? The optometrist's hymn: "Open my eyes that I may see." The IRS agent's hymn: "I surrender all." The gossip's hymn: "I love to tell the story." Or "Pass it on." You can throw a couple in there. The electrician's hymn: "Send the light." And then the shopper's hymn: "Sweet by and by." I always say that's the Baptist National Anthem: "In the sweet by and by, past the pie, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, past the moor," right? And we'll get to pass a hot dog today, not any pie, but we'll have fun with that. Galatians chapter 1, let's look at something important, of course, on this special day, and that's not just making much of this local church, but it's making much of the message that this local church has preached for so many years, and that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's talk about the gospel for a few minutes this morning. Galatians chapter 1, let's read down verses 1 through 10. And I'll try to be brief in my comments best that I can. And I just want to explain, here in Galatians, Paul writes to this group of saved people that live in Galatia because there was some confusion concerning the gospel. You know, today, the world that we live in, there's much confusion concerning the gospel. I'm glad that you're here today. And I'm glad that every Sunday, and pretty much every service, but every Sunday for sure, the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ gets preached here. It gets emphasized. We make much of the Lord Jesus. We don't make much of man. We don't make much of what man is capable of, because we know what the Bible says what man is in his heart of hearts. And we know what the Bible says man deserves, what our sin deserves. But we also make much of the one that loved mankind so much that he came and took our place and died our death and provided and purchased our salvation for us freely by his grace, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul's talking to the church at Galatia about this in Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. It goes on further than that. I won't be able to make a lot of comments, but let's look at a few things together. Look at verse number 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world." Aren't you glad you got a deliverance from this present evil world? Oh, I hope you're. Hope is not tied up. Your future is not tied up in this present evil world, because you know what it's going to do? It's going to get more evil and evil. It's going to wax worse and worse. The bad people, it's going to seem like there's more bad people than good people. If it didn't already seem that way, it's going to seem that way soon. It's going to tip. You're going to wax worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But we have deliverance here, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We could just talk about verse 5 and not do justice this morning, but let's keep reading verse 6. I marvel. When I was growing up, I didn't even play marbles because my dad told me the Bible said marble not. I'm just kidding. Marbles is part of his, his upbringing, his character, and who he is today, along with ketchup and things like that. Verse 6, it says, I marvel, I'm astonished, I'm taken back, I'm shocked, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. We have so many folks today that have been called unto, I guess you could say, deceived unto another gospel. In verse 7, he keeps explaining, which is not another. This another gospel is not something new. It's something that's been around before. Talking about the Old Testament law. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, do you understand the words of English there? Paul says, when we came and preached what God told us to preach to you, the gospel, the grace of God, making much of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection the third day, we came and preached that to you. You got saved. You've continued in that a while, and now some are troubling you, and you have questions, and there's confusion among you. He says, even if I came back and preached something different to you, or even if an angel that we thought came down from heaven preached something different to you, he goes, let me or let that angel be accursed, or anybody that's going to preach anything different than that true message, that great news, that pure gospel, that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that was already preached to you. He says, it doesn't matter who preaches it. If it's different, it's wrong, is what he's saying. It doesn't matter today who preaches it. It doesn't matter how big of a crowd they have or don't have. It doesn't matter if they're on TV or on the radio or on the internet. It doesn't matter what you think you saw with your eyes or what they convinced you and what you think you heard in your ears. It doesn't matter. If it's not what the Bible says it's supposed to be, then it's wrong. It's another gospel. It's another gospel. Not like another way, and this okay, this gospel's okay, that other gospel over there's no. It's another gospel, which means it's the wrong one. It's the false one. So we keep reading. In verse number 9, he says, as we said before, so say I now again. This bears repeating. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have, talking about the past, received, let him be accursed. Accursed isn't a good word. Cursed is a strong word. Strong word. Talking about your eternity. Talking about your soul. Verse number 10, the last verse I'll read. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let me title this lesson for the next 10 minutes or so, 15 maybe. Good news in 2013. Good news in 2013. You know what? You know what's good news in 2013? The same thing that was good news in Galatia back when Paul and Silas or whoever was with him when they came to town way back then and preached that pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's not by works, not by man's goodness. There's nothing to boast about, but it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that was extended unto mankind. How man was a sinner, man was separated from God, and a Savior intervened and brought man and made it possible for him to be back with God, reconciled for today, for tomorrow, and for all eternity. That's that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could tell the Christmas story, talk about the incarnation. We could talk about his life, where he went about doing good, how he increased in favor with God and men. We could talk about all that kind of stuff and try to summarize, but here is the bottom line. It's that death and that burial and that resurrection, that work that was accomplished for me and for you and for everyone that will receive it today. Good news, great news, glad tidings. Good news in 2013. Let's talk about it just for a second. There's another gospel in verse number 6 that's mentioned. It removed Christ. It removed grace from what man was believing. And it was troubling them. It was confusing them. You know that we have folks that they might not do exactly like these folks in Galatia that were causing the confusion and trying to make people go back and live like it was Old Testament times. They might not exactly do that. Some of them try to. They're a little inconsistent, but there's some that teach the and pervert the gospel of God today, trying to say the focus is on you, trying to say it's all about you. And if you do enough good and it outweighs your bad, and if you take your bad and you participate and go, you know, confess it or, you know, and do penance and things like that, if you do enough of that and you participate in their religious system, then maybe, just maybe, at the end of things, it'll turn out okay for you after you're purged for a while. I don't know how so many people try to attach themselves to that type of teaching and belief. No, there's nothing attractive there to me. We all know the true story about ourselves. You know the fellow or lady that looks back at us from that reflection in the mirror? There ain't no secrets between the two of us, is there? We might can put on a show. We might can put our best foot forward when we're out in public or around people that we care about impressing. But when we're looking in that mirror, the two of us know the truth. There's nothing hidden there. Do you know there's one other person there's nothing hidden from? He might not be looking at you from that mirror, but he's looking at you from a different perspective and point of view. And let's don't pretend for a second there's anything hidden from him. In fact, he knows the story better than the fellow in the mirror does, or the lady in the mirror. That ought to make us pause and think today. We better make sure that it's not another gospel that's troubling us or confusing us. We better make sure we know what the Bible says. See, we can try to fool people around us. We can even try to put on with that guy that or fellow or lady that looks at us from the other side of the mirror, but there's no fooling him. No hiding anything from him. Oh, I could go through and run some different references here, but let me kind of cut to the chase a little bit. Let me just say, where did Paul get the gospel of the grace of God? Did he get it from a man? Look at verse number 11. Since I didn't read it, I want to read it now, okay? But I certify you, if you're doing something official, if you're doing something legal, don't they make you do it in a certified way, in an official way? Maybe you have to have a notary. Maybe you have to, you know, get a stamp, or you have to do this, or you have to go pull a document, or you have, you know, something that certifies you. Where Paul's saying, I'm doing this as officially as I can, and it's not according to man's rules, it's according to God's rules. But I certify you, brethren, I'm on the record right here, that the gospel which was preached of me, that I came preached there in Galatia to you folks, is not after man. It's not man's gospel. Man didn't give him the gospel. Man didn't teach him the gospel. He's not just taking what he heard from somebody else and taking it to you. No, he says it's not after man. Let's keep reading. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But how was he taught it? How did he receive it? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, who's now not on earth anymore, he's died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He was there for 40 days teaching his disciples and followers and his 12 apostles minus Judas plus Matthias. And he's ascended up to heaven. That's where the Bible says he's at. And the Bible refers to him all except for one time in the book of Acts chapter 7 that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is at. And Jesus, he could have picked somebody else, but he chose Paul as an apostle, not to the Jews, but an apostle to the Gentiles, the apostle of grace, and I can give you lots of verses about that. Jesus from heaven chose Paul. And look at me, because I'm the one teaching, and you've seen people sit down before. You see that if you go to McDonald's. You see people walk in and sit down. I don't know if it distracts you from your Big Mac or not. But anyway, Jesus from heaven chose Paul and revealed something to him. He revealed to him that it's not like Old Testament times where God's got a preferred nation he's dealing with. And the Jewish people do have an advantage before God, and other people can come to God, but they need to come through the nation of Israel to get to the God of Israel. You can read that in Old Testament times. Some people try to make that confusing. It's not confusing. Just read it for what it says. That things are different now, that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter if you're a Hebrew or a Gentile. that the gospel of the grace of God is freely extended to all. There is no difference, right? That's what the scripture says. That's what Jesus told Paul. So Paul goes out and says, well, you know, there's some more information here that we didn't have before, so I'm going out to preach it. And he preached it in a place like Galatia. He preached the gospel of the grace of God that is extended to all. The grace of God hath appeared to all men. He preaches those things, and he preaches it, and they receive it. And they understand it, it's seen, but then later somebody comes back in and says, oh, I don't know why he told you. Why is he telling you all that new stuff? No, it's like it used to be. You need to keep the law. You need to keep the Sabbath day, which is not Sunday, it's Saturday. You need to be circumcised. You need to abstain from pork. You need to, you know, they go through all the things that was Old Testament religion. It served its purpose, but God has moved man along. And they're trying to cause confusion in Galatia. So he says, remember, I didn't get it. I didn't get it from a man. I didn't get taught this gospel that I preached. Remember who gave this to me. Jesus Christ himself, he gave this to me. So that's why you ought to listen to it. It's not my words. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just the human medium that God gave this message to you. And if anybody does anything to that message, changes it, adds to it, takes away from it, let them be accursed. Strong words, but true words. True words that we ought to pay attention to today. So where did Paul get the gospel of the grace of God? Verses 11 and 12 answer that question. And so the question is today, what do we preach? What is our message? Do you know it's the same that Paul preached? Do you know that God, after he gave it to Paul, he had it written down? I guess you could say more for posterity's sake, but for a little bit more than that. He had it written down and placed his spirit upon it, and supernaturally, we still have this book today that is the same message that Paul preached all those years ago. You know, not 2,000, but more than 1,800 years ago. That's a long time. This is my dad's 42nd anniversary, not his 1,842nd, right? That's a long time ago. Well, we still have the word today, so what do we preach? What's the gospel? What is the gospel? What is the pure word that Paul preached? Well, he gives us definition in several places. I'll speak to it. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is probably the best place. That's what I like to look at. In fact, it's a few pages back to my left. You just got to skip over 2 Corinthians. And you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You get to verse number 1. He's talking to a different group of believers there in Corinth. Let's read this together before we finish the lesson this morning. Moreover, 1 Corinthians 15, you're burning daylight now. That's what John Wayne used to say. Great hero of the faith. I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Boy, I hope you're in that verse 1 right there. I hope you can be identified as a brethren, because not in a religious sense, but in the scriptural sense right there, because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is wherein you stand today. In fact, if you don't stand there, you don't have any standing before God. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Believing in vain would be allowing it to be troubled, allowing it to be confused, and not continuing to preach that same message like what happened in Galatia. There's a question about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and that's the context. But let's look at verse 3. This is where I wanted to get to, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, Paul says, I went to Corinth and delivered unto you as a messenger boy, first of all, that which I also received. We know where he received it. We just read it. From the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. A lot of religions believe that Christ died, but do they believe that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures? Why do other religions teach that they can forgive you of your sins? Why do other religions, false religions, teach that they can remit man's sins? They can do no such thing. The Bible teaches that the only way to have forgiveness and remission of sins is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the scriptures. We got to keep reading. And, verse 4, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So we could say there's five parts to the gospel there. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there's death. There's his death for sins, the second part, his burial, that's the third part, his resurrection is the fourth part, the fifth part is according to the Scriptures. The five parts of the gospel, it all goes together. You can't have one without the other. It's like five fingers on a hand. A hand's incomplete without those five. It's the five parts of the gospel. That's so important. We're not teaching the Ten Commandments today. Ten Commandments are important. We have them posted here. We believe that true government and good government is founded upon things like the scriptural commandments that have been given, that God has ordained government. And I could talk a lot about that, but we don't teach that for your eternal salvation. Keeping the Ten Commandments, no. And there's people that teach that today, although they still break those Ten, they do break the commandments, and there's contradictions in religion everywhere you look. The second thing, we don't teach baptismal regeneration. We don't teach that you have to get baptized in water to be saved. False religion teaches that. That troubles the gospel today. That makes confusion. We don't believe in that. How can baptism, which is a work that you participate in, it's something you submit to do, how can that save you when the Bible says, to him that worketh not, but believeth? Who is salvation extended to? The person that doesn't work for it and attain it, but the one that believes on the one that did work for it and attain it, and Jesus Christ is his name. To him that worketh not. I can't get past those few words. That just pulls the rug out from so many religions today. To him that worketh not. Romans chapter 4, verse number 5, if you ever want to make a note of that verse. We don't teach national repentance for salvation today. Does our nation need national repentance? Absolutely. That's a subject all in itself. But that doesn't, our nation's national repentance does not give me or you heaven for our eternal home. It's different. What about the Sermon on the Mount? What about living a good life and being good to others and turning the other cheek and all the things that we could talk about? All those are great things. But once again, that's trying to slide man back into a works mindset depending on himself and his own performance. And it's not about the Sermon on the Mount. I remember hearing a very high elected official be questioned a couple years back. It's been more than a couple now, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years back, something like that. I asked him about what Romans chapter 1 said about righteousness and said about controversial subjects today, such as when it comes to our nation and our society's morality and homosexuality and things like that. And they asked him about a verse in Romans chapter 1, and he says, "Oh, I'd rather keep to the Sermon on the Mount than some obscure text in Romans 1. Some obscure verse. There's nothing obscure about it, brother." See, people try to take religion and they pervert it and they twist it, trying to change and trouble and confuse what the clear message of the Bible is. Our message is found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Our message is found in the five parts of the gospel. Let me give you two verses and I'll be finished this morning. The first verse is found, you don't have to turn to it, but it's found in the little letter, the little book of 1 John. It's only five chapters. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, if you are making notes or anything, I'm just going to read it to you. 1 John 5, 12. The Bible says, I like this. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, that's getting it down where somebody like me is not all that smart can understand it. That's 19 one-syllable words. 19 one-syllable words right here in this old, archaic, hard-to-understand Bible. I'm saying that with sarcasm. People understand it too much. That's why they don't like it. It's not that they don't understand it. They understand it too much. It's like Mark Twain said, right? What I don't understand the Bible that troubles me, it's what I do understand that troubles me. "He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That really puts it there right in everybody's wheelhouse. That's a fastball with nothing on it right over the middle part of the plate. Another verse that gives a little bit of the gospel in a nutshell is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It's all in one verse. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just," that's Christ, "for the unjust." Christ, in his justness, he was the Son of God, died and suffered for my sins, me being the unjust, and you being the unjust also. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh." He died on the cross, was buried, but quickened by the Spirit. He rose again the third day. Never been anybody like that, that was put to death in the flesh and then rose again, never to die again. But Jesus Christ, he is the first fruits. He is the one. He is the one we have to look to. He's the one that conquered death, not for a short period of time, not for another few months or another few years, like some of the miracles that happen in the Bible, but he rose from the dead and never to return again. He's the one that should have our attention this morning. He's the one that we need to look to this morning. I was thinking, I talked about hymns at the beginning of this lesson this morning. Years ago, I read this story about years ago, a certain man, his last name was Klein. A certain Mr. Klein was discouraged and defeated and convinced that life just wasn't worth living because no one cared for him. He was walking past a church one Sunday evening. In the church house there were services in progress. As the congregation sang a familiar song to them, he caught the strains of that familiar hymn, floating out the window, I guess you could say. Here was the hymn: "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me." His hearing, he's an older man, Mr. Klein, his hearing wasn't all that good. So when the congregation came to the words, "Jesus died for all mankind," he thought they sang, "Jesus died for old man Klein." Why, he said, "They're singing about me in there. That's me." And stopping in his tracks, he turned and entered the small auditorium. There he heard the simple message of the gospel as the preacher preached the good news of the gospel, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the world to save sinners. Mr. Klein believed and was saved. Jesus died for old man Klein, but he died for all mankind too, didn't he? I don't know if my name will rhyme in that measure or not, but my name's in there. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You gonna believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him today? Oh, that's good news in 2013. I sure hope you know him. I'm glad you're here today, but